much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hi!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Are you sexually attracted to young boys, to underage boys?
Am I sexually attracted to underage boys? Sexually attracted? You know, I enjoy young people.
Whatever, douche.
You just got me seriously horny.
So, I've got to tell you, I had a pretty crappy day today. My girlfriend dumped me, I failed my exam, and I found out I had cancer. But do you know what makes it all better?
The McRib is back, baby!
Yum, 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 yum.
And now, welcome to Thoughts for Your Thoughts. I'm Barry Merbles, filling in for David Parker, who took off for 8 months to study the migration patterns of our nation's squirrels. We have not seen him since.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Wednesday morning.
What's crackalating, people?
Good morning.
You almost pulled that off.
Thank you.
Almost.
Yeah.
Almost pulled off crackalate. Not easy for a white guy.
I got some complaints, I think it was yesterday or the day before, when I made a reference to somebody macking on somebody. Is that not a thing that people do anymore?
That's not what they say.
People don't mac?
Well, I mean, they used to mac in the 50s.
I don't think it was the
50s. Now they make out.
Did people not know what I meant when I said
Oh, no, they knew what you meant. They just wanted to – I got that tweet, too. They just wanted me to call you on it. And I said, look, Bean peppers us with 1920s talk. We can't pick everything.
There was an expiration date, apparently, on that expression, according to this listener.
Yeah.
Well,
I'd have to agree.
He did not think it was very groovy, is what you're saying.
Right, exactly.
We talked a few days ago about the etiquette involved in cell phone conversations nearby. You know, at a restaurant, for instance, we were talking about that guy in Philadelphia who's got the cell phone jammer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we were saying, well, it kind of depends on the situation, what kind of restaurant, how loud they are, how long they talk on the phone, a lot of circumstances involved.
I'm sorry, Bean, can I just butt in?
Sure.
Still looking for one. Back to you.
Cell phone jammer, if anyone's got a connection. What's your take on being on an airplane and having a passenger painting her nails? Would that bother anybody?
It wouldn't bother me, but it can be a pretty strong smell.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt that other people could be bothered by it.
How about you, Lisa?
I would have to agree.
Jeannie Daniels is her name. She was on a flight last week to see her boyfriend, Jimmy Hauser, in Houston. She was flying from Burbank to Houston. She asked the passengers on both sides of her, she was sitting in the middle, if they would mind if she painted her nails. And they said, no, go right ahead.
Well, that's considerate.
So she starts painting her nails. The flight attendant comes up and says she has to stop painting her nails. It's offensive to everyone around you, is what the flight attendant told her.
Wow.
So Jeannie gets up. She goes into the restroom on the airplane to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And then a second flight attendant, when she comes out, says, hey, what are you doing? Weren't you told not to paint your nails? And she said, yeah, I was. I was told that it was offending people around me, so I did the right thing, and I went to, you know, to the bathroom so that it wouldn't bother anybody. So the passenger goes back to her seat. Flight attendant comes up to her and says, you just blatantly didn't listen to my rules, and just went on and on and on, according to Miss Daniels. She was getting so loud when I was sitting in my seat, I was like, stop, and I was loud when I said, expletive, because she wouldn't end the conversation. Which, by the way, I was trying to think. Maybe it was, you know, shut the F up. Who knows what she said, but there was an expletive. Well, I think you can see what happened because, as you know, flight attendants are gods. So they land in Houston, and the police are waiting there to arrest her.
Most aren't that way, but there are a few who they have that little tiny bit of power, and they love to wield it.
The charge was abusive profane language.
Oh.
They didn't even charge her with painting her nails because how could you, right? Unless you wanted to get into it some sort of a, you know, flammable substance or something like
right.
that. The passenger also said as she was leaving the plane, she turned to the first flight attendant, the one she had the altercation with, and raised her hand for a high five and said no hard feelings. That prompted the Houston police officer to grab her raised arm and ask, are you trying to hit her?
Oh, no.
What?
The charge was later dismissed by a judge after she had spent more than 10 hours in jail.
Oh, man.
She really needed to paint her fingernails, though.
I didn't know that you could be arrested for that.
Well, I think it's the cursing at the person, but I didn't know you could be arrested even for that, really.
Yeah, I think it's any time they think you're a problem on a plane, they have the ability to call ahead and have someone waiting for you on the other side. I just can't believe it took 10 hours for her in jail. Is that incredible?
Well, you have to do a thorough search of everything. You need all the information.
Sure, yeah.
She must have been hot,
Bean.
It had,
you know, I have it, actually.
Her nails look good.
It had to get up to, through the system, I guess, from the police to some sort of prosecutor, I guess, and then to a judge for it eventually to be. Here's the statement, the final word on this from Southwest Airlines. The customer in question was taken into custody upon arrival in Houston for behavior she displayed while on board a flight to Houston on February 26th. The airport police became involved because of the passenger's behavior and a verbal altercation with a Southland Airlines crew member. Southland Airlines is responsible for the safety of all of our passengers and employees. So anyway, I don't know what's going to happen next, but that's not how she expected that day to go, especially since she started out with, hey, does anyone mind if I paint my nails?
Yeah, she really did it the right way.
Sounds like.
Yeah.
I don't know. People are a-holes. You know that.
Yeah, that's true.
If I were a flight attendant, I'd be fired within a week.
Yes, you would.
People are just such a-holes.
Yeah. They don't want to do anything.
I really wouldn't. Yeah. I could not, literally could not do that job. Because I would have to tell people off, and then that wouldn't go well.
I would be surprised to find someone doing their nails on a plane. That just seems like a bad idea.
Well, it certainly doesn't happen very often, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But cutting your toenails, that's fine, right?
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Everyone loves that. The sound, everything. Everybody loves
nails
it.
Flying everywhere.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Obviously.
All right. Good. We have Adam Carolla on the program today. This Week in Radio.
Yeah.
Love him. One of the funniest guys alive.
We have enthusiasm from Lisa on that Adam Carolla impression.
It was pretty half-hearted.
Yeah.
Still. William Shatner on the program today.
Your story is a beautiful story.
From my point of view, it's
a beautiful story.
No story
I
yet.
Love your story.
Not a story yet. Just telling about the show. Would you like to take that back on the program today?
Oh, fantastic. It's been too long.
We have way too many. We're going to have to break it up into two groups, I think. Because we say a lot of stuff that we would like to take back.
Yeah. Or, I think that may have already been bumped for today. That's how busy today's show
is. Oh, is that right? Okay.
I hope we can get to it.
All right. Let's see. April Foolishness tickets we have for you.
Excellent.
We're going to talk to Clipper Darrell, who's been in the eye of the storm for a little while here. Yeah.
I understand that they've settled. I understand that the Clippers and now Darrell Bailey have come together on terms, and they're going to be back together, and everybody's going to be happy.
Fantastic.
I hope that's true.
If anybody deserves to get some recognition, it's Clipper Darrell after all of his support when they blew for so many years. Now that they're doing well, you know, give him a little something. Andrew Siciliano will be on the program talking about Peyton Manning no longer playing, but no longer playing with the Colts.
How about that? Can you even imagine him in another uniform?
That's going to be the most bizarre thing ever.
It was like when Brett Favre went to New Jersey. It just doesn't seem right, does it?
He had 4 neck surgeries. I can understand why they're passing on him.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's not the best $28 million they would have spent.
Man.
While we have Andrew on, we have no sports guy because we're lame, but I also hope he'll give us a minute to bring us up to speed with that shocking thing that came out last week about New Orleans players being offered bonuses for injuring other players.
Oh, I heard about that.
The bounty. Yeah, yeah. I want to talk about that, too. It's a crazy story.
You know, it is a crazy story, but every single NFL player that I heard react to that was like, yeah, and? Like, really didn't care at all? Weren't surprised? That's life?
I think the only difference is
everyone knows it except for now the public knows it.
But were they actually specifically paid bonuses
for
it in the past? They were?
Yes.
That's really common?
Bounties, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
To knock players out of the game. Yeah.
No, I think Lisa is asking other teams, right? We're just talking about New Orleans, but you were asking about
is that common?
League, right?
I think it's common.
To actually
in the
pay
league.
Bounty, and because they were saying the difference was that it was institutionalized,
right.
And
that's what, that was
it wasn't just to knock
too.
Them out of the game; it's to hurt them,
right?
So they don't ever come back,
right? So we got that coming up, and the Ultimate Fighter starts Friday night. It's going to be live, and we have Uriah Faber, who is one of the coaches, and that's going to be a good season, I believe. Yeah. Because he does not like the other coach. The other coach does not like him. at all. So we got that coming up as well. We'll take a break and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat. That's next.
We've got some beer mug red carpet interviews you probably haven't heard yet coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm in awe of his talent. I mean, I've been in the business longer than Beer Mug has. I have no hope of ever being as good as he is.
He's not going to be around here for long. That's all I'm saying.
It's true.
Come on, Ralph.
I'm saying you're going to move on to bigger and better things given your gifts.
You're on the fast track, man.
Yeah.
Thanks.
But while he is short time in the business, but just making such an impact, he's like, you know, Kurt Cobain of red carpet interviewers, you know? We hope it ends the same way. And I'm just saying, but he's an incredible talent that he's leaving behind.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
Ralph is here now. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show.
Now, before I get to the Showbiz News, I would like to address an issue. We get sent all kinds of promotional material here at the show. Me specifically, because I tend to do a lot of the Showbiz News. So movie companies and TV networks, they're always sending me something to try to promote their projects and to get a mention on the air, perhaps. And I guess in this case it worked, but maybe not in the way they intended. I was shocked yesterday when TV Land sent me this little piece of promotional paraphernalia. It's for a show called Happily Divorced. I don't know if anyone watches that. They say apparently 2 million people are watching on basic cable for Happily Divorced. It's Fran Drescher's
new
show.
Yes, and her gay ex-husband.
Right. Yes. Based on the true story, she marries this guy. They're married for a long time. He announces that he's gay, and they split up, but they remain best friends. And that's what happened in Fran's own life. So they want me to talk about it, and they want me to watch, I guess. So they send this little piece of paraphernalia, this little publicity packet. And this is what happens when you open it up. I'm going to open it up in front of the microphone, and this is what happens. Every time you open it, you hear Fran's laugh.
Do they think that's a selling point?
That's what I'm thinking. What are they?
They
what?
Do.
What?
They do?
Yeah, they do, because
people
I've seen...
like that?
I've seen a billboard that says, "The laugh is back." That's their slogan.
What kind of wrong-headed thinking is that if they believe that this sound will ever make me tune into a program?
Oh, that's the most annoying laugh on the planet. So annoying.
Every time you open it.
Oh, you want more of that?
Stop.
You want more of that? Go to TV
so
Land.
Time I...
All right, we got it. We got it. Okay. We got it.
So I'm just saying. Think things out. Networks. All right, the second most annoying laugh in show business, maybe. I love this story. The guy who created The Bachelor, home of true love, Mike Fleiss, has announced he is divorcing his wife of 24 years and high school sweetheart. Alexandra.
So he could go on the show?
Yeah, I think once he gets some of that young bachelorette honeypot. I just thought it was funny. No one connected with that show could stay together.
Yeah.
I was watching it with the wife, of course, as I do every Monday night, and they were talking about the next season, which is The Bachelorette. You know, they alternate. They do a bachelor and a bachelorette.
Okay.
So the next season is The Bachelorette. And she's a beautiful Texan who was on a couple seasons ago. She's coming back. And she was the one the guy picked. Right?
Okay.
They were engaged. They were
so
in true love. They were going to get married. They split up. So now she's the bachelorette.
Ah.
So they had former bachelorettes come to her to give her advice on how to be the bachelorette.
Right.
And every story was, yes, we were so happy. And when he gave me that ring, and we're not together anymore. But one after another, every relationship on that show had been failed.
Yeah. Because you're trying to find love on TV. Doesn't work.
I think also you're trying to find love at summer camp.
Yeah.
Because they take you to Costa Rica and here and there for a month, and everything's paid for and beautiful and lovely. It's like being on a real long vacation. And then these people get back to the real world, and they're like, wow, I had no idea how annoying you were, because this never came up when we were on the beaches in Cabo San Lucas or whatever.
So. Plus, it's, like you said, it's a 30-day filming or something like that, where you have a few hours together over the course of that whole 30 days. It's not like a relationship where you might see each other for several hours, you know, a week.
You don't know about love, man. You don't know.
That's true.
Love. Love
obviously
conquers all, obviously. Congratulations, actress Linda Cardellini. She gave birth to her first child. People magazine says the new baby girl is with her boyfriend, Steve Rodriguez. It's a leap day baby. The baby will never get old.
Never.
She's best known for her work in Freaks and Geeks and ER and the Scooby-Doo movie, so congratulations. Elizabeth Berkley from Showgirls, apparently, also pregnant with her first child. She's due to give birth this summer. Baby will come out on a pole.
Is that right?
The doctors, which I thought was shocking. I
didn't realize that.
Snooki's picking out names for her baby.
Oh, this is happening.
Is that still happening?
Is this happening?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Her favorite girl names? Gia, Isabella, Gianna. If it's a boy, it's Tony or Frankie.
Oh, God.
Hey, how you doing, Tony? Hey, Frankie, how's it going?
And the
what if
continues.
Your name was Asshor?
Yeah,
think about that.
Asshor apparently also is an option. Great story out of New York this week. You know, Lindsay Lohan, of course, was hosting Saturday Night Live. So the paparazzi are on red alert because they need to find pictures of Lindsay. So they're just like fish. There are sharks in a tank, right, swimming around looking for the right thing. And out comes what they think is Lindsay, and they keep shooting away and shooting away and shooting away. Comes out of the hotel. Turns out it wasn't Lindsay Lohan at all. It was former Blondie front woman Debbie Harry, 66-year-old Debbie Harry.
And they thought she was Lindsay?
Yes.
Ouch.
That's what I'm saying. That's not good news for Lindsay Lohan when they mistake you for a 66-year-old woman.
Lindsay's like, what?
I've seen the photos, and in their defense, it's not too far off.
Ooh.
Don't understand that at all. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kevin's favorite TV weatherman, Willard Scott, is 78 years old today. Willard, of course, from the Today Show. He likes to say happy birthday to old people.
He sure does.
He does.
He sure does say happy birthday to people who are over 100.
Puts their pictures on a Smucker's jar and just gives them a send-off.
That sure does happen. I wish he gave him a send-off.
Actor Bryan Cranston. Breaking Bad, Malcolm in the Middle, such a funny guy. Talented, too. 56 years old. Comedian Wanda Sykes is 48. Randy Guss of Toad the Wet Sprocket. Let me scratch that out. What am I doing here? He's 45 years old today. Rachel Weisz celebrates her 41st birthday, as does Peter Sarsgaard. Jenna Fisher of The Office turns 38. And Laura Prepon, That 70s Show, turns 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
For Daryl joins us next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. We'll find out if there has been some resolution in the dispute between him and the team he has given most of his adult life to. Also, William Shatner on the show today, Andrew Siciliano, Uriah Faber, Adam Carolla. My God, that's a lot of show for us, right?
Yeah, too much.
First, though, can we talk about this Rush Limbaugh story for just a moment?
Yeah, I don't know what trouble he's in now. What's this about?
He probably doesn't consider it trouble. I'm sure his ratings are going to do nothing but go up. I mean, this is what he does. But he has lost a lot of advertisers. The very short version of the story is the president is floating a plan right now where he is trying to get insurance companies to cover contraception for women. He wants birth control pills to be covered just like any other prescription that you would get at the pharmacy, right?
Okay.
A lot of people disagree with that. Religious groups, Catholic groups, for instance, say we don't believe in birth control, even though 99% of the Catholics in America use it, but we don't want to cover it. A lot of Republicans are obviously against it because it's the president's plan. So Rush Limbaugh goes on. He talks about this woman who has testified on behalf of why she thinks it's a good idea. And she says, yeah, I'm a Georgetown law student and it's expensive and I'd like to have my prescriptions covered. And I think they should be. He just went on a rant over the series of shows last week and just called her every name under the book. And I think we've got a kind of a medley of some of the greatest hits of him against this woman named Sandra Fluke. Listen up.
What does it say about the college co-ed Susan Fluke, who goes before a congressional committee and essentially says that she must be paid to have sex? What does that make her? It makes her a slut, right? Makes her a prostitute. She wants to be paid to have sex.
Fluke, a third-year law student at Georgetown, is now the flashpoint in a debate about whether employers should be required to fully cover contraception, even if they have religious objections.
She's having so much sex, she can't afford the contraception. She wants you and me to pay her to have sex. What does that make us? We're the pimps. If we're going to have to pay for this...
No, we're paying for the job.
Then we want something in return, Ms. Fluke. And that would be the videos of all this sex posted online so we can see what we are getting for our money.
Why would he say that?
I don't know, but I like that last idea.
Oh, he's so creepy.
A good one. I like it too, but not from him and not the way he said it.
I love that he thinks that if you have more sex, you need to take more pills.
Exactly. He doesn't really, maybe he doesn't know how it works, but we asked producer Dave if he could line up Rush Limbaugh for us, and sure enough, one of the most successful broadcasters in the history of the medium, L. Rushbo himself, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Limbaugh.
My friend, Kevin and Bean, how are you?
We're very good, thank you.
Well, we're fine, but you're a little bit of hot water.
How is that whore you work with?
I am not.
She's not a whore. Why would you say
a prostitute in the background?
What?
No, why would you even come out and say something like that?
From all the sex she wants to have.
It's just a female.
There on your radio program.
I'm just a normal woman. I do have sex, yes.
Oh, there, she admits it. The whore says, yes, I am a whore.
No, that's not what I said.
Because you have sex doesn't make you a whore, Rush.
My friends, I'm so tired of these whores and prostitutes and floozies and Jezebels taking all of our hard-earned money, so that they can be whores
and prostitutes. You know, Rush, and a lot of people have brought this up, I'm sure, that there are lots of reasons that women take birth control pills that don't have anything to do with contraception, also for many other health reasons, right?
Yes, it's in order to make them sluttier.
No,
it's not at all.
The contraceptive pill, it releases a pheromone that makes you a slut, and you get followed around by packs of dogs.
No.
I'm not sure you understand that correctly.
I have to take more happy pills.
Oh, I see. So those pills are fine to take, right?
The more sex you have, the more contraception you need.
Okay, now...
No, this pill, you just take one a day. That's it.
Regardless.
Yeah, even if you're not having sex.
Wait a minute. Do you expect me to believe that you take one pill?
That's how it works.
Yes.
I've never taken one pill in my life. In order to get the desired effect, I need to take hundreds and hundreds of pills.
Right, because you're
so
fat.
I'm assuming this slut from Georgetown, this Susan Fluke.
Sandra Fluke.
What's her name?
Sandra Fluke?
Sandra Fluke. She must take hundreds of sex pills so that she can have her slutty prostitute sex.
It's not a sex pill, and sex does not necessarily make you a prostitute.
She's having so much sex she can't afford to keep up with her prostitute clothes budget.
All right. You're just making things up now. You understand that, right?
I want to see the videos.
Well, okay. That was a little creepy.
I want to see the videos of her having all this sex.
That's a little creepy, right?
We're
not entitled to that.
I want to take bottles and bottles of pills while I watch these videos.
Now, Rush, let me ask you this.
I want the government to pay for my lube.
If you're concerned with how much the government is spending, don't you see how much cheaper it is to give women contraception for free rather than have to pay for babies that maybe they don't want?
Oh, I see. I see where you're going now with this. Baby killer. I understand.
I'm not suggesting. No, I'm saying if a baby is born, it's way more expensive to take care of than it is to take a birth control pill to prevent the pregnancy.
Well, here's an idea. Let's sew their knees shut.
Well, what?
That's not really an idea,
Rush.
I'll pay
for needle and thread for all of the prostitutes from Georgetown. Line them up. I'll sew their knees together myself.
All right, Rush, listen.
I learned how to sew in the Boy Scouts. I can put on my merit badges and also sew together their knees.
Okay. You're not backing down from this, even though you've lost over 20 advertisers, including people like AOL and Sears, who have been advertising on your show for many years. Aren't you worried about what's going
to
happen?
My friends, I would like to apologize for the language that I used. I lowered myself to sound like a liberal. By attacking someone with such vitriol and anger.
All right. It doesn't have to be about liberal or conservative.
And I apologize for sounding like a liberal. And I hope that whore prostitute slut can
one
day forgive me and have sex with me on video while I take copious amounts of OxyContin.
Okay, that's a hell of an apology right there. I think that should settle the whole issue.
Yeah. Let bygones be pills, shall we?
All right. Thank you, Rush. Nice to chat with you.
Goodbye, my friend.
Bye now. Today is March the 7th. 1 month from now, on April 7th, we're all going to be at the Gibson Amphitheater, live on stage for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness 2012, Felipe Esparza from Last Comic Standing, Brad Williams, Tim Minchin. By the way, Brad Williams, he tweeted this morning. You know how funny he is on Twitter, right?
Yeah, he's
Kevin?
Funny.
He tweeted this morning that every time he sits in first class on an airplane, because he's flying back, he used to do some gigs this weekend, he says other passengers always assume he's a Make-A-Wish kid. Tim Minchin is going to be there with his hilarious musical entries. Eddie F., Jim Jefferies, Bob Saget, Larry King. Yeah, Larry King, Jay Moore, Eddie Izzard. It's a great night of comedy, completely sold out thanks to you, but we are giving away tickets. How are we doing it this time?
We are doing it this way.
Punchline, punchline, punchline.
Yeah!
Punchline, punchline, punchline. Can you tell us a punchline today? Make us laugh, you'll scream hooray. Don't be stupid or you will get dissed. You won't get into it for foolishness.
Okay, so we're looking for the best punchline at 1-800-520-1067. There has to be a joke associated. You can't just make up a punchline because we're going to ask you to tell the joke if you are, in fact, picked as the best one. And on the line is sold-out tickets for April Foolishness. Who's first?
First, we have Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Yes?
Hi, what's your punchline?
It's going to take a while for me to get hard because I just got laid yesterday.
I'm not sure we can even say that on the radio.
I know.
Hold on. That is an enticing punchline. I'd like to hear that joke. Abel is next on line five. Hi, Abel. Thanks for calling the Kevin Amin Show. What's your punchline?
No way. Look what you did to yours.
I liked his delivery, too.
Me too. Yeah, I did, too. Delivery. Very intriguing. Jason is next, line six. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the show. What's your punchline?
We don't sell minors to liquors.
So miners to liquors. Again, could get us in trouble, but I like it.
I like it.
How about Victor, line seven? Hi, Victor.
Hello, Victor. Hi. Yeah, what's up, party people?
Hi.
The punchline is, he said that's not brown rice.
Okay. There's not really a joke there,
is
right?
Is there a joke there?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay. All right, hold on. Okay. Brown rice. How does Beer Mug not know that joke?
Let's get to Morris. Hi, Morris.
Hi, hi guys. How you doing?
Hi, good.
Good. My punchline is: you think you're Thor?
You think you're Thor? Why are all of the punchlines so dirty this morning? What's going on with that? Let's try Mark, line three, 1-800-520-1067. Best punchline wins tickets for April Foolishness. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Hey, what?
What?
I'm sorry.
Yes. What?
Come on.
That's a good delivery, but how can that be the punchline?
I want to hear a couple of these, at least. Yeah.
What language is your joke in?
English and Chinese.
Okay. English and Chinese. Okay, we're going to consider that one. Thank you very much.
All right, now, I guess we could hear a couple of the jokes. Yesterday, or the day before, we got burned by the joke was terrible.
Yes.
The punchline was great, though, but the joke, exactly. But we can only pick one winner, though.
Yes.
Well, can we hear the whole joke and then pick our winner?
Well, that was my question, is if we pick a couple. Okay, so Lisa says it's going to be unable to get hard. And then Abel said, I just hung up.
No, look what you did to yours.
Right. And then Jason said, sell miners to liquors. We don't sell miners to liquors. And then Victor said, that's not brown rice. And then Morris said, you think you're Thor.
Wow. There's a lot of good ones there. Who do you like the best? Who do you like the best?
I want to hear Abel because I liked his delivery.
No, look what you did to yours?
Yeah. I'd like to hear that one.
That was a
good delivery. That's fine with me. Yeah, that's fine with me. Let's try that one. Let's try Abel. Let's see if Abel can deliver.
Abel, hi.
Yeah.
All right. Start with the beginning of the joke and then tell it through the punchline.
Okay. A little boy and a little girl are in a bathtub, and the little boy is playing with his binky, I guess you can call it. And the little boy is playing with it. A little girl says, "Hey, can I play with that?" And he says, "No way! Look what you did to yours."
No.
Very nice. Very nice.
That's pretty good.
Not bad.
How about April Foolishness? You told Chip you're excited to see Eddie Izzard. You will be seeing Eddie Izzard and all the other comics at the Gibson Amphitheater on April 7th. How's that sound?
That sounds awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Excellent.
Thank you. Bye now.
Punchline, punchline, punchline.
Yeah!
Punchline, punchline, punchline. Can you tell us a punchline today? Make us laugh, you'll scream hooray.
Already played this part and now it doesn't make any sense.
Three reasons for you to go to krock.com here in the next few minutes. One is if you missed our interview and performance with Lana Del Rey, that is up on the website right now. You can see that. Two is you can score a pair of lift passes to KROQ Storm's Bear Mountain this Friday. Three is a brand new Pennywise song is going to be world premiered on the website in about 10 minutes. How about that?
We only had some place we can play it.
I said to producer Dave, I said, this is huge news, new Pennywise. Why can't we play it on the radio? He says, nope, website only.
Nope.
Odd. Apparently, you can't play music on the radio anymore. Apparently, that's not allowed.
I'm going to start listening to our website. It's a much better show.
So, new Pennywise at krock.com in less than 10 minutes. Thanks for listening to the Kevin Amin Show. Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Kirk Cameron's still getting some back blow. Well, I guess no. I guess not in that case. From his comments about homosexuality being unnatural and detrimental to civilization. Tracy Gold, his TV sister, has come forward to express her support for the gay and lesbian people. And yesterday, his TV dad, Alan Thicke, commented on his appearance on the Piers Morgan show by saying, "I love Kirk, but I may have to spank him, though not in a gay way." See, Alan Thicke's funny.
See, because?
Because he doesn't agree with him. Kirk Cameron said that he should be able to express his moral views on social issues without being slandered and accused of hate speech. We need to learn how to debate these things with greater love and respect, he said. like the love and respect you showed to the gays when you said they were going to be the downfall of civilization. Just like that.
I love that they went and asked his TV family what they thought.
Yeah.
Sure. That's really bizarre.
And if he was eating a banana. Kardashian update. Porn star Kim Kardashian has been working out to lose weight and to get into better shape. Why? Well, according to friends, she's on a manhunt. She's trying to land herself a new man.
That shouldn't be too tough.
Rumor has it she has her eye on a rich Saudi prince. And so I guess she's trying to look like a harem girl.
Sure.
To attract his attention. Maybe she should stuff herself into a bottle. And then he can just rub it. She can pop out and grant his wish, if you know what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying? By granting wish, I mean something sexual. Some sort of sexual favor.
What if he doesn't wish for something sexual?
Well, he's a fool then.
Oh, all right.
Like that guy was on I Dream a Genie. Always made me furious.
Yeah.
Major Nelson, who gets Barbara Eden in a bottle, and she comes out, oh, I'll do anything you wish, master. Okay, I want a pony. No, shut up. Smoking hot blonde genie in your living room.
And he never once wished her top to fall off either, by the way.
No, that was my point.
You know, there's a lot of reasons to not want to date.
He
could have
used his guesses for sex. His wishes?
His wishes for sex.
Yes.
Is that what you're
saying? That's the general point I was trying to get at.
Got it.
I said that, and then Bean added, her shirt didn't come off.
I got it.
I had started with sex. Bean went to shirt coming off. Bean went backwards.
He did.
All right. The progression of that joke. Yes.
I was just going to say, there are a lot of reasons why you would not want to date Kim Kardashian. Let's face it. I would not enjoy a conversation with her. But that's my point is it can't be that hard for her to find a man. She has an awful lot to recommend her as well. Right?
Yeah, but then, well, it depends. If you're just going to hit it and move on, fine. But if you're going to spend some time with that family, you're in trouble.
Yeah, the family is a real deal breaker. That's true.
Speaking of the family, Khloe Kardashian apparently is in such a fury, such a heated desire to make a baby that she's made her husband Lamar Odom skip games to stay at home when it's time for her to get pregnant. When she's ovulating, she makes him miss games.
I thought he essentially has been bumped from the team.
Well,
they
sent
him down to the minors or something?
He's in the D-League right now.
He got sent down to the D-League, which is a real slap in the face.
And apparently she's asking him to take time off when she's ovulating so they can get to the business of making babies.
That's what will get you back to the big leagues.
It really will.
Taking time off.
Yep. Coach, I got to go home. My wife's temperature is spiking.
Wow.
Yeah. Taylor Swift's whore.
I'm sorry? Rush?
Moving on. Rebecca Romaine in the news. No, let's do the Taylor Swift story.
Go back to Taylor. What's going on with my girlfriend?
Us Weekly magazine interview with her, and she just had more of her continuous pity party she's having for herself. I suffer from girl next door itis, where the guy is friends with you, but that's all he wants. Shut up. Rich country singing. I actually had a pathetic single girls party. We just ate junk food and just ate whatever we wanted and danced. We made these little profile cards about why we were single.
Wow. Hasn't she dated like 5 incredibly famous, wealthy men in the last 2 years?
I've never been popular with the boys. I had my first boyfriend when I was 15. Then I was perpetually single. I don't have a boyfriend, she said. I sit by myself and watch Law and Order. I don't even have someone that I'm texting. And that guy might someday be my boyfriend.
Wow.
Oh, face full of acid for this one.
Really?
Yeah. Let's see how your life is once you have real problems. And you know what? You want a boyfriend? Stop banging everybody. Everybody in sight. Oh, she's such a whore.
I think she's not banging any of them, and that's why they don't last, by the way. That's my theory.
They don't stick around. It's not worth it.
I think she's got something going on down there.
Oh, God.
Something
Ralph,
catchy.
Stop it.
That's what I'm thinking. Something catchy.
Could it be teeth? Everyone, it might be teeth.
No, everyone's staying away because there is some sort of creepy crawling.
I hate
going
all
on.
Of you.
No, it's true.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we didn't put it there.
Yeah, right. Guys have been warned. They know. Don't go there. Danger zone. Danger, Will Robinson. It's got the police tape down there, cordoning it off. It's like a crime scene down there. Bad things. Don't do it, fellas.
That's real talk right there, man.
That is real talk right there. Kevin?
Yes.
The moment you've been waiting for.
Yes.
Warner Brothers has announced they are re-releasing Casablanca on the big screen.
Yay!
You get to see Casablanca, Kevin, as it was meant to be seen on the big screen.
Yeah.
Kevin?
Kevin,
over here.
That's the only old movie that Kevin has actually seen. Ralph,
what?
You know that. Yes.
I have
seen that one.
Yes.
What?
But do I want to go see it on a theater now? No.
Yes.
Well, no.
It's one of the classic films of all time.
Yeah, Kevin. It is. I know. Did you enjoy it when you watched it?
Yes, it's a very good movie.
Wow! This is a banner day. Someone marks this down.
Breakthrough.
How dare you, sir? I watched Dr. No over the weekend on your
recommendation. Yeah, Kevin told me off air that he actually saw the first Sean Connery James Bond movie.
How about that?
And?
Because of your recommendation. And it was really good.
See?
But most of the time, who's got time to go back and catch up
in the
50s and 60s?
Oh, here we go again. I forgot how busy Kevin's life is.
I'm a busy guy.
I know. Well, look. It just drinking alone takes up so much of your time, I can only imagine.
And I hate to bring this up again, but it takes exactly the same amount of time to watch an old great movie as it does to watch a brand new crappy movie.
I hate to
say
this,
amount of time.
Bean's got a point.
But you're not positive it's crappy until you see it.
Oh, you're the ones you're choosing, we're positive you're crappy.
Yeah.
Casablanca will be on the big screens in 500 theaters across the country on March the 21st. As
Why?
Part of the 70th anniversary of the film.
Wow, they're 70 really, years they're ago. Really blowing it out with a one-day showing in the theaters.
Wow. Everything's going to be perfect for you, man.
It better be in color.
There might be a new Rob Schneider movie. I don't know.
Won 3 Oscars, by the way, including Best Picture when it was released. So, just saying.
And a lot of people consider it the perfect screenplay. Like, there's not an ounce of fat on that screenplay.
It is. And they're publishing a lot of articles now in movie magazines stuff about the film because of its 70th anniversary. And it turns out the screenplay was just patched together, just bits and pieces. They didn't have an ending while they were shooting.
Really?
Yeah. Guys
the worst
were like,
way to do
guys
it.
Guys were like banging stuff out and bringing pages down to the set and saying, try this. We're not sure, but give this a throw. See what happens.
Who gets on the plane? Who does it? I don't know. Yeah. I don't care. Wing it.
Down to the last minute, they didn't know how the movie was going to end and what they were going to do. So it's not always the well-crafted screenplays that turn out so well. Sometimes you get lucky, I guess. And congratulations to Felicity Huffman and her actor husband, Shameless star William H. Macy. They'll both be getting their stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning at 11:30 a.m. if you want to go down and see him.
I've seen awesome. Shameless. He's camping down there waiting.
Yeah, I think he is.
For his star.
He's drinking like Kevin.
How dare you?
I'm just saying. Oh, I don't have time. I was going to give away tickets here for Casa de Mi Padre, the new Will Ferrell movie that we're going to the red carpet world premiere. We've got tickets for that, but I don't have any time now. So I'm going to have to give them away an hour from now.
Do so 1 hour from
if you want to see the Will Ferrell movie Casa de Mi Padre, a comedy entirely en Espanol, by the way, come back in an hour, and I'm going to give away some tickets, and we'll have a good time. Today's celebrity birthdays, Willard Scott. He is the TV. Is he still the TV weatherman? Or
I don't know. Al Roker is the day-to-day guy, but they go to Willard once or twice a week. You know, I've told this story before, Ralph, but he was the first radio disc jockey I ever met in my life. Willard Scott was.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
How
when
exciting
I was,
that must have been for you.
Exciting well, story. It certainly was for me, as you can imagine, being a young radio geek to actually meet a guy on the radio in person. It was a big thrill.
Did somebody snap up the movie rights to that story?
No.
I'd rather hear Beer Mug talk about his drumming.
It was just...
Than hear about Bean's interaction with radio personalities.
It was a pivotal moment for me to see him doing a live broadcast.
Did we have him to blame?
Exciting story.
For why you got into radio as a
career? I was already interested in being in radio. It was just a nice step in that direction.
Willard Scott, by the way, first Ronald McDonald. I don't know if you knew that or not.
That's a joke.
Obviously.
That's true. He was the first Ronald McDonald.
Huh. Obviously.
First guy to dress up as Ronald
Obviously.
McDonald. 78 years old today. Bryan Cranston is 56. Wanda Sykes turns 48 years old. Rachel Weisz celebrates her 41st birthday. Boy, she's a good-looking 41.
Yes, she is.
Peter Sarsgaard, also 41. Jenna Fischer of The Office is 38. And Laura Prepon from That 70s Show is 32 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Clipper Daryl is here, and we've got this for you.
Clippers ball so hard, you know where to find me. Laker fans keep trying me. I got the Clipper Nation standing right behind me, so you can't deny me. Ball so hard, I couldn't believe. When the news came down, we got CP3. And just like that, at the drop of a hat, the team turned into Lob City. Ball so hard, this is weird. Clippers not supposed to be here. Ball so hard, since we here. You know it's going to be the Clippers' year. CP3 and Chauncey, all-stars. Take your pick. Nope. Butler, Griffin, Jordan, our team is sick.
The Laker era is over.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not. It
gets the people going.
Blake goes up, you know it's going to find him. CP3. 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 Dre goes up, you know it's going to find him. CP3. And Chauncey. Lob City.
Go, Dave.
Clippers in the zone, Staples Center our home. You about to get on, Lakers be dethroned. That's right, Clippers.
Clipper Nation, rise up. 2012 is our year. Shout outs to Clipper Darrow, DJ Dance. I see you, Dance. What up, Fung? Dave, the King of Mexico, DJ Omar Khan. Clipper Nation forever. Suck it, Kevin.
That is Dave, the King of Mexico, producer of the Kevin Beach Show, Clipper fan number two. In studio joining us now, our old friend Clipper Darrow, Clipper fan number one. Yeah. Hey, Darrow.
Hey, how you doing today? I'm okay.
It's so nice to have you in. We have been, you know, as many Clipper fans have been, and many, you know, fans of yours in general. Just, it's been, we've been all over the map with the news reports that have been coming out about maybe you and your favorite team parting ways. Is there any progress on that, or what's going on with you guys?
Before you give us the progress, how long have you been Clipper Darrow?
For actually about eight seasons.
Eight seasons. Yes. And how long have you followed the Clippers? Eight seasons or longer?
18 years.
18 years. Okay. Now go ahead and give us the update.
This is a very hurtful situation. They reached out. They reached out through
The Clippers.
Yes.
Okay.
The Clippers have reached out through Fred Rogan on the Channel 4.
Uh huh.
And they sent a letter to him saying that they want to sit down and they want to talk. So the thing is,
what happened originally? Catch everybody up that's not aware of the story of you and
okay.
the Clippers.
The originally what happened was that I was denied. Bleacher Report wanted to do a feature story on me for their website.
It's a good website, by the way. If you enjoy sports, Bleacher Report is pretty good. Go ahead.
And they were denied a media pass. And I was wondering why they was denied a media pass, a credential to talk to the players about me.
Right.
And so I just called the front office. And they returned my call, and they said, "How does it help us? For you to do a report?" I said, "I've been doing these features for a long time. You know, what's the problem now?" He said, "You know, it's for your personal gain. You know, we no longer want you to do any personal interviews. No interviews. No, don't represent the company. Don't do anything. You know. And matter of fact, we can we want to take." You can drop the Clipper. We can take our name back from your name. And I'm like, where's all this stuff coming from? So it was very painful. Before I even brought it out, you know, I even lingered it on for a week because I thought I was really dreaming.
Right.
I thought it was like this can't be true. You know, you're telling me to drop the Clipper Darrow persona. You know, just go to Darrow Bailey. I mean, it was, and then all of a sudden, man, I went to a game. You know, I couldn't even go inside I went in my regular clothes and I couldn't even go inside.
What?
Yeah, I couldn't, you know, I'm standing outside and I'm looking and I'm saying, I can't do
this. Did you have a ticket?
Yeah.
And they wouldn't let you in?
Oh, no. I couldn't do it myself. I just can't because
didn't have the heart to go in.
Exactly.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Because Clipper Darrow couldn't go in.
Right.
You know.
And then, of course, you drive to the game in your red and blue Clipper-painted automobile. Then you go home to your red and blue Clipper-painted house. I mean, it is your identity, right, is the Clippers.
Exactly. But the car is down right now. The transmission and the engine went out.
Did the Clippers take it out? Did Blake Griffin go over there and mess with it? No?
Nah.
All right. Now, so where does it stand? Here's part of the problem. Here's where it gets complex. Because we've had somebody that said they worked for our radio station before, and they're out there representing K-Rock, and we didn't want them representing us. They're not the type of person we wanted representing us. But that's a different situation because it seems like you're nothing but positive.
Yes.
Nothing but positive. We've talked to you how many times? 10, 12 times. Always the most positive person in the world. And
best spokesperson there ever has been for the Clippers.
And for the most part, while the team blew... While they were bad, you were a positive voice for them. They're good.
Did you do something, Darrow, that they thought reflected poorly on the club?
No, I've done nothing. I've done nothing wrong. This is me every day. You know, I'm excited for my team. You know, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't beat my wife.
I mean, you've been a walking billboard for the Clippers forever. I'm trying to figure out what made them decide now they want you to stop doing what you've been doing that they haven't had any problem with. There wasn't any catalyst that you know of that caused this change in policy.
No, because they put me in the advertisements. They put me on the AMPM mini cup.
Did you start making money? Because that sometimes can be a...
Now, it's like, Kevin, you'll call me up. You say, hey, Darrow, come on by. And watch my 10-year-old son play baseball. You know, come check him out.
Right.
So I come out. I get in there. I can't. You my friend.
Right.
So I can't go nowhere and not cheer. So I get the parents involved, and we having some fun.
Right.
Now they're saying Clipper Duro was here making an appearance. That's not an appearance.
Do you get paid for that kind of
stuff?
No. Oh, you don't get paid for that kind of stuff?
No, I'm not. You know, I mean, I've done events that I haven't gotten paid for, yes.
Okay.
But the majority of stuff that I've done has always been charity events, just like when the NBA on lockout. All the NBA, you know, I was doing a lot of charity events that I did not get paid for.
Right. So is part of what the Clippers organization is asking for is that you run these appearances by them? Is that part of what the deal is?
Yes. Now with the new circumstances. But I don't even know because I haven't even talked to the Clippers yet.
Why don't you talk to them? They seem to be reaching out to you now, Daryl. I saw that letter that Fred put up on the news last night that said they're looking forward to welcoming you back and they're hoping to have many years together. I mean, why don't you call them?
Yes, I'm definitely going to call them today, and we're going to have a sit-down meeting. And I just want to get a clear understanding of what they expect. You know, Fred told me a few little things that made me understood. And Fred,
shaky, don't go through Fred.
but the weirdest thing that happened to me, remember I told you about the story of the guy that fired me?
Sort of, yes.
Okay, that's how I became a Clipper fan, the guy that fired me from my job?
Yes.
I come home. Guess who's on? I answered the door. Guess who's at my doorstep?
That guy?
Same guy?
The same guy that fired me.
Firing you again for the Clippers?
he came over. He reached out to me and made me understand both sides.
I see. Okay.
Oh, that's
nice. And then I understood. Now I understand what the situation is because now they're better. People are paying more attention to
it. A lot more, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but
of course.
I've never in my life said that I work for the Clippers, ever. I always
but
tell people.
But you call yourself Clipper, Daryl.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I call, but that was given to me by the media, not by me going out there doing it.
Daryl, we don't have a lot of time, and we're, of course, very hopeful of a resolution that makes everybody happy because the fans enjoy seeing you at the games, and you're good for the Clippers, you're good for the city, and we're fans of yours as well. Why do you suppose, for instance, when Blake Griffin tweeted support for you when this whole thing came down, why do you suppose then that tweet was deleted? Do you think that was the Clippers getting to him and saying, hey, we don't want anybody else to make any comments on this?
You know what?
Yes.
I appreciated the love from Blake, from DeAndre, Chris Paul, and everybody out there. And I just want to get everything behind us. And we having a great season this year. And I just want to go get back into that arena and love my team and cheer them on to a victory, man. We can actually say the C word this year. Yes, the C word. Championship.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Clippers. Okay.
And I thought we'd been saying that word all along. So you're going to – it sounds to me like this is, hey, like you said, you put your finger right on it, Clipper Daryl. You said, look, the team's winning now. We're in the spotlight. People are paying attention to everything we do now. It sounds to me like everything just needs to be out in the open. You need to know what you're expected to do and what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. They need to know exactly what you're doing. Everything's on the up and up, and it sounds like you guys should be able to come to an agreement. Everybody should be happy, right?
Yes.
Oh, I hope that's the case.
And it's a great season this year for the Clippers. So.
Man, a beautiful season, man. Yeah. The best season in Clipper history.
It's certainly not the season that you, Clipper Daryl, want to sit out.
No.
When's the next home game, Daryl?
Sunday at 6:30 against Golden State.
There you go.
You going to be there?
Yes, I will be.
I'm
hoping to be there until I talk to the LA Clippers, and then we're going to sit down and see where this is going.
All right.
Oh, make it happen, Daryl. Seriously, make it happen. It's a win-win for everybody if you come back, all right?
Okay, thanks a lot, man.
We love you. Thanks for stopping by.
Well, I love you, too.
As you know, my policy is I would like to take that back. It's my standing policy.
I say that at the end of every show.
It's world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and time for...
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you take that back?
This is a feature that we came up with a number of years ago, where it gives us the opportunity to maybe... I don't know, something that we regret, something we shouldn't have said. It gives us a chance to take it back and kind of apologize to the audience a little bit. We don't always feel that way, but sometimes in retrospect we do. So that's why we now have this opportunity to do so.
Yeah, no, keep going.
You rarely get a second chance in life, and that's why this is so nice, because you get a chance to go back in time and change things you wish you could.
People will occasionally come up to me and ask me who writes our stuff, and I know that they don't listen, because if they listen, they could tell that we don't have writers.
Nothing is written.
Right. So this is the first one. This is my man Bean. Take back. Ralph is talking about birthdays.
Anita Baker is 54. Mariska Hargitay is 48. Tiffany Thiessen, who used to be Tiffany Amber Thiessen,
But she lost her Amber. She is 38 years old.
Nick, we should send out an Amber Alert. Try to find her.
No.
What?
File.
I just
file, yeah.
But, no, come on.
File. Pretty good.
File.
I'll back you.
You're out.
Would you like to take that back?
If I want to take back Amber Alert, no.
Would you like to take that back?
I'm proud of that.
I think that's a good one.
I'm standing by it.
I'm going to play a tiny clip of what we just heard, and then I want you to reconsider. You ready?
All right.
I'll back you.
All right. What about that?
Would you like to take that back?
Lisa has so much beef with more gusto that she says, I'll back you.
Lisa's very tepid, but on your side there.
Ralph said she lost her Amber.
Right.
Right.
I understand
that's
it.
Already not that great.
I understand it.
Would you like to take that back?
Well, mine wasn't a joke. I was just saying she lost the Amber part of her name. She dropped
it.
Right.
Look, if the question is, would I like to take that back?
Would you like to take that back?
No, I would not like to take that back. I'm standing by it. I'm happy with that.
This is a long clip, but I had to leave it long because it all leads up to the punchline, and this is my man Ralph as he's doing the showbiz.
So he's an Elvis impersonator dressed as Elvis, who the cops show up to pick up because he's wanted, okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He barricades himself inside the motel room. As they approach him, he holds up a vial full of white powder, saying it's ricin, the poison that can kill a human instantly. Then he opens up his jumpsuit, and he's got C4 explosives strapped to his body. After a four-hour SWAT standoff, Elvis was taken into custody. The ricin turned out to be table salt.
Yeah.
The C4 was fake. It was modeling clay that he had.
A prop.
Now, in retrospect, he blames his behavior on diabetes.
On diabetes?
Yes, he said his blood sugar was low. I apologize to the public. I was disoriented. Guess he was all shook up.
Okay, all right.
Man, file.
Come on! That old joke led up to that one. That was sweet.
Nope. You'll have a chance.
No way.
Would you like to take that back?
That was a well-crafted Shaggy Dog story.
The whole story was for that punchline.
Yeah.
That was the best 40 minutes of that show.
No way. That was sweet.
Ask Rodney to come in. We need Rodney Bingenheimer.
Rodney
Bingenheimer, would you like to take that back for the first time? Wow.
Bean is explaining. Right. Hey, Rodney. Welcome to Would You Like to Take That Back?
In the hallways all these years, I get to come in.
All right. Now, Bean is explaining Coachella.
All right. Coachella.
And Rodney has a...
Bon Iver is going to be playing on the middle night of each weekend. The Shins are playing. Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds on the bill. Here's what I love about Coachella.
The Shins are playing between the ankles and the knees.
Really?
Well, I don't know about that, but...
Can we put that in the file?
Would you like to take that back? Boomtown Rats.
Now, it's a yes or no. The yes or no question is...
Would you like to take that back?
And then you say yes.
Oh, all right.
Or no.
Belinda Carlisle.
Yes or no.
All right, the Bangles.
Would you like to take that back?
Yes.
Close enough.
We'll take that as a yes. Thank you, Rodney.
We'll take it. Yesterday, we were talking about airline trouble, people who get in trouble on the airline, and I started the, quote, comedy, unquote, and then Bean really drove it home, and I believe Bean needs to take it back, but I'm willing to consider my role.
So we're taking off out of Oakland, and we hit a flock of seagulls as we're taking off.
The band? You hit the band, the flock of seagulls? What were they even doing in Oakland?
And knocks out one of the engines. And we start going down in the bay.
Wow.
They end up putting three holes in the airplane that we're in. They patched up that plane. We stayed on that plane and flew it to Burbank.
But once that plane landed, I bet you ran. You ran so far away, right?
Boo!
Boo is right! Boo and file, says the listener. Boo and file, boo. Says the listener.
Boo. Would you like to take that back?
Boo, indeed.
The listener booed you.
All right. Are you going to take yours back, Kevin?
No, wait. Kevin should not take that back.
I am not taking back the seagulls.
Because that was the alley-oop. He went up and he jammed it.
Right.
That, and then 4 minutes in the quarter go by, and you go back to the flock of seagulls reference from 4 minutes ago and put up a lame jump shot that just rattles around the iron.
I see your point. Yeah. I think I agree with you.
Would you like to take that back?
I think not only will I take it back,
yes!
I am also man enough to admit that in the exact same circumstance, it would be impossible for me to not say the exact same line again. I just couldn't help myself.
So you're
going
to take it back,
say it.
But unfortunately, you're tied to that joke.
And fortunately, I would do it again. But yes, in this case, I regret it.
All
right.
And finally,
it's like that girl you shouldn't keep going back and having sex with. You just can't stop yourself.
All right. And finally, LaQuisha's on the phone. Hey, LaQuisha.
What do you want?
Would you like to take that back?
I
didn't watch no damn Jersey Shore.
No, it's not about Jersey Shore. It's about one of your reports and one of the jokes that you made. This is it.
Snooki, as you know, has a full bunny costume this season that she likes to wear.
Yeah.
And she has come up with a persona for this bunny costume.
Great.
Her name is Lola. She is not a showgirl.
Oh, man.
File.
Wow. File, LaQuisha, sorry.
Hey, you file my ass.
File.
I'm going to cut you.
You file. Where's file?
It's filed, LaQuisha.
Is that
you making a Barry Manilow lyric reference?
Her name was Lola.
1978.
She was a showgirl.
Yes, it was.
That's right. I did it. You got a problem with that?
Well, we're asking you a question.
Would you like to take that back?
I ask you a question. Would you like to kiss my ass?
Can I take that as a yes?
No, you can't take that as a yes.
Okay. All right, so no.
I know where you were.
All right, take it easy.
I'll see you later today.
No,
it was
Bean that suggested you should take it back.
Oh, I'm going to Fantasy Island.
That's
then.
What
take
I'm talking
down.
About. Yeah.
Would you like to take that back?
KROQ.com, quick reminder, if you want to hear some new Pennywise, their latest song is called All or Nothing. We are streaming it exclusively on the website. Plus, there's a great new interview with Fletcher, who, as you guys know, is a party. Andrew Siciliano joins us coming up next half hour here on the Kevin Amin Show. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Casa de mi padre.
Yeah!
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 I can't wait for this movie so hard. I can't wait for this movie so hard. I'm waiting over here so hard. Okay. I'm waiting so hard for this movie.
All right.
Will Ferrell in a comedy entirely done in Spanish.
Did somebody order Mexican?
With subtitles. And based apparently on the style of the telenovelas that are so popular on Univision.
Holy sombrero!
That just happened.
Telemundo. Boy, this is a funny idea for a movie. These guys are so creative. Will and Adam McKay, his partner in crime, and all those guys over at that production company. This movie is going to be fantastic. I'm predicting fantastic.
Fantastic.
March 14th at Grauman's Chinese Theaters, the red carpet world premiere of Casa de mi Padre. I am going. Why don't you come with me? Five pairs of tickets I have right now to give away. 1-800-520-1067. Here's your trivia question.
Anchorman.
That's not the answer at all.
I'm glad.
For all you Will Ferrell fans, I would be so angry.
Punch me right in the face.
Yeah. Will, of course, local boy made good.
Correct.
From down there in Orange County, Irvine, California. All I need to know from you, if you're a Will Ferrell fan, this will be easy. Where did Will go to high school? Where did Will go to high school? 1-800-520-1067. Local high school here in Southern California. Let me know. Yesterday we talked about his USC days. Let's go back a little bit more. By the end of the week, we'll have him in nursery school.
Where was he born?
1-800-520-1067. First five people get through with the correct answer. We get a pair of passes to see Will on the red carpet of Casa de mi Padre and to enjoy the film as well. Movies and theaters everywhere Friday, March 16th. So if you don't win, don't feel bad because it's right around the corner.
It's a week from Friday.
Yep. Good news for Justified fans. The successful FX show starring Timothy Olyphant. Just been renewed for a fourth season. Of at least 13 episodes, and that's good news. I don't know if you guys are watching that or not, but it's a real good show.
On and off. It is a good show.
Boy, he's really scary in that. Remember Hitman? Wasn't he Hitman?
Yeah, he was Hitman.
The bald Hitman?
Yep.
Scary dude. This story is awesome and leads me to, I think, what would be a funny call-in topic here on our show. Rebecca Romijn tells Us Weekly magazine that she was waiting for a friend of hers at a bar recently when a Spanish man sent her a drink. She thought that was a nice gesture, probably a fan, probably liked her work in X-Men or something like that. Then he came over and invited her to join him and his friends. And then he inquired as to how much her rates were. The gentleman apparently thought she was a hooker.
Because she's so hot?
Yes.
And she was sitting by the bar by herself. By looking around the room, he thought she was on the clock.
So you want to take calls. We can't do it today, but
no.
In a future
sometime,
show.
Sometime, I would love to hear
when
from
our listeners.
Women who were mistaken for hookers.
Love it.
I bet it happens more often than you think.
Love it.
Love it.
Especially when you're in Vegas. I'm guessing there are listeners out there who have been mistaken for ladies of the evening.
How much? That's awesome.
And how do you handle that conversation?
That's awesome.
Yeah, luckily Rebecca's got a good sense of humor. She explained to the gentleman that that was not the case. and made a hasty exit. But how much would you have to pay for a hooker that looked like Rebecca Romijn,
by the way?
No kidding.
You don't have enough money,
sir. That guy didn't have enough.
You know, it's funny you should bring that up, Ralph.
You were once mistaken for a hooker,
Bean? No, but I have, this is true, I have been driving and have seen a woman standing literally on a street corner and wondered, is she hooking or is she just waiting for the light to change so she can cross the street?
So you pick her up?
Bean
and
pulls up, lowers that window in the clown car.
I'm Bean. Yeah, I'm Bean. There's only room in the trunk because I drive a midget car, but you want to get in? Yeah, that's where the duct tape is.
Bug says, 8 years from now when you're legal, look me up.
Oh. Have you guys ever had an experience with a lady of the evening? Have you ever engaged in the world's oldest profession?
Nope. Sort of wish I had.
I've got no problem with it. I think it should be legal. I got no problem with it at all. It's just I'm too cheap.
Doesn't work for me.
Yeah, you are too cheap. That's for sure.
I've got $4. That's it.
But if you're going to spend money, it's an excellent way. For your entertainment dollar, you really got a high value.
Bean used to have a woman that was by his house that was $5 5 minutes. That's a pretty good bargain.
I lived in Hollywood, yeah.
You know what, though? The stopwatch would distract me, I think. That's the only thing when I'm with her. I'd find that.
But you're only paying $5.
Yeah, but at the 5:05 mark.
Yeah, now you're screwed.
If you're not done, you're dead.
When she throws the flag and the play's over, the play's dead at that point. What if I'm not past the goal line yet?
And I would drive by her in Hollywood on my way into K-Rock, and I would think, it's only $5, but on the other hand, I may want to go to Subway today, so maybe I better hang on to that fiver.
Yeah. I've had my...
You have?
Well, in my youth, I had a couple experiences, and they were all very entertaining.
Well, they're professionals.
They are. They are professionals.
It's like the difference between hiring a moving company and having your friends move you. It's a big difference. They know what they're doing.
Yes, it is.
That's Rebecca Romijn.
And Lindsay Lohan was in New York City, of course, over the weekend. She was hosting Saturday Night Live, and the paparazzi were out in force trying to capture a picture of Lilo. And out walks this blonde in sunglasses with a hoodie on, and everyone goes nuts, starts taking her picture as she comes out of the hotel. Turns out it wasn't 25-year-old Lindsay Lohan. In fact, it was 66-year-old Debbie Harry of the band Blondie.
Love it. That is funny. She looks
25.
Good for her age.
She looks good for age, but
right.
And
if
Lindsay
you're
looks terrible for her age
and can be mistaken for a good-looking 66-year-old, that's still no compliment.
No, it's not a good deal for Lindsay.
We have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
Joanna, I think on line 7, perhaps, was the first caller through with the right answer. Joanna?
Hello.
Hello. Where did Will Ferrell go to high school down there in Irvine, California?
University High.
University High!
Obviously.
I would have been so confused if I went to University High. Was I in college? Was I in high school? I wouldn't have known.
Yeah, that is odd.
Yeah. Thanks so much for calling in, Joanna. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, but you're going to see the world red carpet premiere of Casa de Mi Padre.
Thank you.
Also, congratulations.
Will Glenda be there?
Glenda will not be attending, but Barbara, Annie, Joey, and Eduardo all will be attending. So I'll see you guys next weekend. Today's celebrity birthdays, next week rather, Willard Scott. I call him Will.
His close friends calls him Will.
We do. We do around the old age home as he picks up photographs of people to put up on television during the Smuckers break. He is 78 years old.
There aren't a lot of guys named Willard anymore, are there?
I think of the Rat, and I think of the weatherman from the Today Show. It's the only two Willards I know.
Isn't that, I may sound stupid, but isn't that Mitt Romney's real first name is Willard? Didn't I read that or hear that? Does that sound right to you, Lisa?
I don't think that's it.
Don't know. Thanks for bringing it up, though,
Bean. Doesn't ring a bell.
Maybe it's Millard. You don't meet many Millards anymore, either.
You don't meet any Millards ever.
Was it Millard Fillmore?
Fillmore was the president, yeah. Hold on. I'm bringing it up.
This is going to be worth it.
Mitt Romney's full name, born March 12th, 1947, Willard Mitt Romney.
Wow.
Yeah! You are the man.
Bean is the phone-a-friend.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
Sure
that
does.
Just happened.
That's remarkable. Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad and Malcolm in the Middle is 56. What's up,
obviously.
What's Bryan's full name?
I believe it's Bryan Cranston.
Oh, okay. Wanda Sykes, 48 years old today. Rachel Weisz from Constantine and The Mummy and Daniel Craig's Boudoir. She is 41 years old.
Pretty little face.
Yeah, she's got a pretty little face. Peter Sarsgaard's 41. Jenna Fisher from The Office turns 38. And Laura Prepon from That 70s Show is 32 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Peyton Manning, who I thought would retire in a Colts uniform, apparently is going to be released from the team today. We'll talk to the NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano to find out what he's likely to do next. That's coming up. Plus, Uriah Faber. I know you're very excited about the new UFC show debuting Friday, new season of The Fighter Show. First, though, Michael Jackson, back in the news. Unreleased tracks, apparently, were part of what was stolen by hackers when they got into the Sony network. Remember a few months ago when Sony PlayStation had to come out and apologize because all the a lot of the information for people who subscribe to that service was released because hackers?
Right.
Well, apparently at the same time, they got into the Sony Music Vault, and they have apparently hundreds of tracks, including lots of bonus tracks and alternate versions and previously unheard duets of Michael Jackson throughout his entire career that have been now stolen.
I didn't know there was this many, but did you know that Sony was planning on releasing seven albums? They've only released one after his death. They had six more albums to go.
Those are going to be some super crappy albums, I would imagine.
I would think, but that's a lot of maybe what was stolen, so they're probably pretty upset.
Hey, like you've always said, Kevin, there's a reason it didn't come out on the record you were making, because it's not that good. But we wanted to find out what Michael Jackson thinks about this, and I believe, I certainly don't have the appropriate music up, but I believe we are contacting him on the hotline to heaven right now to find out if he's heard about this story and what he thinks about it. Hello, Michael.
Get out.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Good to talk to you. We haven't had you on in a while. What's going on in heaven? You've been keeping busy?
How's the bit going so far?
Not well. I don't think we started off out of the gate in Greek form.
Oh, there's the music.
There it is. There we go. Much better. It's been a while since we've done the hotline to heaven. We're a little rusty, that's all.
I'll push this rock uphill now.
So
lean in.
What about this hacking story with all of your unreleased music being stolen from Sony's servers?
I don't like hacking.
Right.
I think artists should need to be paid
for
what they do, preferably with young boys.
Hmm. What?
Well, what do you even, why would you say something like that?
No reason. It just popped into my mind.
Yeah.
Tell us about the quality of these unreleased songs, because they go all the way back to the Thriller album, to the Off the Wall album even, which is what late 80s or something, or late 70s?
You have to realize when you're making an album, there's many, many songs that are in consideration to be on the album, and we needed to whittle it down just to the number of songs that we had room for and we thought were the best.
Right.
But a lot of really good songs went by the wayside because we either couldn't fit them on the album or we thought they weren't quite as good as the other ones, but there's a lot of good material still out there.
Huh. So bonus tracks from Off the Wall, from Thriller, from Bad, from Dangerous. And one of the things that was most intriguing that I had not heard about before is a previously unheard duet of you with Freddie Mercury from the band Queen.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
How could that not have come out?
Freddie Mercury and I, we talked about working together for some time on a project, and we finally came up with a song we thought would be good for us, and we laid it down. And it was something I was meant to get back to, but just never had enough time to finish working on it.
Huh. What was it like? What kind of music?
It was a rock dance type song.
Oh, sounds like it could be good.
Called I Should Have Worn a Condom.
Oh.
That was the name of the...
Nope.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. Ironic in retrospect.
It is, Yeah.
You know, you weren't really famous for doing a lot of duets. Of course, you had the song with your sister, Janet. You did Scream together. Paul McCartney. You did a couple
that
of songs
a
with
him. Terrible song.
The girl is mine.
That was just horrible.
The dog-gummed girl is mine. Yeah.
Did you like singing with other artists as well, Michael?
Yes. I was planning a whole album of duets I was going to release.
What?
Yes, me and some of my favorite artists working together on covers of my songs.
Oh, and on covers of your songs.
Yeah, and we had enough for a double album.
Which song did Freddie Mercury do with you?
I Should Have Worn a Condom.
Oh, right, sorry.
Yeah. Covered that earlier.
Asked and answered?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is the rock still heading uphill, Michael?
No, I just slipped. It just rolled over me. And now I'm going to start pushing it up the hill again.
Wait,
thanks
did you
for
hear
all your help.
Did you hear that some tracks were stolen from Sony?
Wow.
So anyway, these tracks of the artists that I did duets with.
Yes.
Would you like to hear some of
them? Yes, we would, please.
Now 8 minutes into the bit.
Yes,
would
we
you
would,
like
please.
To hear some of these.
We would like to hear some of these tracks.
That'd be great. Here's one I did with one of my favorites. We recorded this when he was still governor. It was me and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
What?
Doing Beat It.
Beat It. All right.
Very exciting. Exclusive.
Yeah, Omar forgot to cut the intro down.
Long intro.
So just hold on.
We did win the Marconi Award, right? Yeah.
They told him, don't you ever come around here. Don't want to see your face, you better disappear. The fire's in your eyes, and the wind's out of the car. Just beat it. Just beat it.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites.
That was worth it.
Yeah.
It was worth the wait. Any others?
Oh, sure. William Shatner and I did one together.
What? You're kidding. We were just talking to Bill. Really?
Oh, well, you should have brought up the cover that we did of Billie Jean together.
Didn't know about it.
No kidding.
She was more like a beauty queen from a movie scene. I said, don't mind, but what do you mean? I am the one who will dance on the floor in the round. She said, I am the one who will dance on the floor in the round.
I hope that comes out. That sounds great, Michael.
We never did that.
That one really sounds good.
That was Bad with Pacino. Al Pacino and I did Bad.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Let us hear some of that.
My favorites.
Oh. Ooh-ah. Your butt is mine. Gonna make it right. Just show your face. In broad daylight. I'm telling you. Oh, how I feel. Gonna hurt your mind. Don't shoot to kill. Come on. Come on.
Yeah, that was great.
Wow, those are really good.
David Bowie and I did one.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Can we hear some of that?
Sure. Well, it's You Want to Be Starting Something. Remember my hit, You Want to Be Starting Something?
Sure, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Here you go.
Want to be starting something. You got to be starting something. You want to be starting something. You got to be starting something. You wanna be starting something. You gotta be starting something.
Sounds good.
I said you wanna be starting something. I said you gotta be starting something. I said you wanna be starting something.
Okay, I think we got
you
that.
You gotta be starting something. You wanna be starting something.
All right, thank you, Michael.
You gotta be starting something. You wanna be starting something.
We got that part.
Said you gotta be starting something.
All right, we actually
said
gotta go.
Said you gotta be starting something. No, you wanna be starting something.
Thank you, Michael.
You gotta be starting something.
We have to go.
I wanna be starting something. You wanna be starting something.
We get the
thank
you.
We all wanna be starting something.
We're hanging up, Michael.
How do you get this thing started? I think it's out of gas.
Okay, Michael, we gotta go. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for all your help.
Where's the rock now?
On my head.
He's gone just because he won't hike the ball.
You're listening to the...
All right!
You're listening to the...
Hang on, he's changing the play.
Do you see how little time we have?
You didn't think that was worth it?
Do you see how late we are?
No, that was funny.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock here at 106.7 KROQ. I used to worry that the NFL Network would not have enough to talk about in the off-season, you know, between camp and the Super Bowl. But this year, they've got too much to talk about. They can't fit it all in on their channel. And Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network, Total Access, joins us on the Kevin Bean Show right now. Andrew, how are you, man?
I miss you guys. Good morning. How are you?
We miss you, too. Two huge NFL stories going on at the same time. Let's save the Saints and start with Peyton Manning. After today, it is likely he will no longer be an Indianapolis Colt, correct?
Actually, probably 30 minutes. Press conference, noon Eastern, 9 specific NFL Network. They are, by all accounts, they have seen him in the building. He just got there.
Wow. Now, is the deal that the Colts do not feel he is ever going to be healthy enough to be worth the amount of money they have to pay to keep him? Is that the short version of the story?
So many layers. We'll start with this. Number one, he's about to be 36 years old. Number two, by the way, of his contract, by the way, the contract is structured that they gave him last year. He is owed $28 million by the end of this week, which is the bonus payment heading into year number two of the five-year $90 million contract he signed last summer. He has yet to play since he signed that contract, so he made 26 whatever it was million dollars last year for never playing football.
Wow.
And it goes down as somewhat of a lovely parting gift. A thanks for everything. We have a Super Bowl because of you. We have a building because of you. Indianapolis as a town hosted a Super Bowl because of you. We didn't think it was going to be the end when we paid you $26 million to sit there and rehab your third neck surgery in 19 months, but that's what it turns out to be. Now, a couple of months ago, many people thought that there was a very good chance he would not be able to play even next season, or at least not be ready to play at the start of next season.
Right.
But now it appears as if he will be ready to play. The Colts, however, do have the number one overall pick. They are in the position of cutting high-priced veterans because they're at the end of their deals. Guys like Dwight Freeney or Jeff Saturday, guys who might be cut, they're in full rebuilding mold. And Andrew Luck, the quarterback from Stanford, is too good to pass up. He is, in most people's eyes, the best quarterback to come down the pike since Peyton Manning. They have to take him, and it's just the cycle of life.
Is it possible that Peyton Manning will find himself slumming it with the Arizona Cardinals?
Yes.
Yes! Come on!
It is possible that he would, those are your words, Kevin, slum with the Arizona Cardinals. Being there's a chance he could be a Seattle Seahawk.
Oh, I know. There's been a lot of talk about it. But what will he be like? I mean, what do we know what his health is going to be like next season?
Well, let's see. If you believe the grainy 26-second YouTube video that was conveniently released last Friday night, and no one knows who did it either, he looks okay. Our Albert Breer at NFL Network reports that he's spoken to a lot of people in the last week that says he's almost there. He is almost back. Now, can he last a full season? Can he take a blindside hit? All of those things are unknown.
Yeah.
No one knows, but I'll say this. It's not like he has to wait next week when NFL free agency begins. The second they release him, he is free to sign wherever. And you better believe that the Dolphins will put all
who's the leader?
In the middle of the
Dolphins?
The Dolphins seem to be logical. They have weapons in Reggie Bush and Brandon Marshall. They have, but the most important thing is they have an owner who is desperate for a shiny object. I mean, why do you think he brings in Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony and Serena Williams and just anything to give star power to his franchise? The building is empty.
Yeah.
They're losing out to LeBron and all those fans. Miami doesn't have great fans to begin with. They're all New Yorkers, right?
Right.
They're all fair-weather fans to begin with, rooting for their New York teams. They need something to get people in the building. Peyton has a house down there. That is the one that jumps off the table. It makes sense immediately, but, Backpage New York Daily News today, go get him, with a picture of Peyton Manning with unnamed Jets players saying, yes, we want him. The Jets have not, because they can't tamper. You know, any team asked about Peyton in the last couple of weeks, they can't say, yes, we want him, because what if the Colts didn't cut him? That's tampering.
Right.
You can't talk about another guy on another team.
Right.
The Jets have not shut down the speculation. They have Mark Sanchez, but here's how you have to think out of the box. Even if you have a quarterback, unless your quarterback is Brady, Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, unless you have one of those guys, why wouldn't you go get Peyton Manning? So sorry, Mark Sanchez, the Jets are going to kick the tires.
How much is somebody likely to pay Peyton Manning to get him to come play for their club?
Any number that they can work out. I don't think money here is the issue. I hate to say money's not the issue either.
It's going to be something less than what the Colts would have to play him if they kept him.
One would assume, but I'm sure there'll be plenty of incentives in there that could make the number pretty darn high.
Sure.
It's where he wants to go. The guy's 36. He doesn't have that much time left.
Right.
You know, if he thinks he can go somewhere like Arizona and make that team better and win, or Washington or Miami or the Jets, or something outrageous like Houston, even though they already have a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning's better than that Pro Bowl quarterback, and he would get to play the Colts twice a year.
It's so crazy to think about him potentially being a Jet, though, and playing in the New York market against, you know, crosstown rivals, the Giants, with his brother. That would be so bizarre, wouldn't it?
Yeah, dude, they're not in the same division. They wouldn't have to play each other, say, for the preseason.
Yeah, but, you know, it'd be the battle of the newspaper headlines, though. Exactly, yeah. All right, let's move on, and just if we can do it in 60 seconds, because we got Uriah Faber standing by, Andrew, and thank you for squeezing us in on short notice. But this story that really surprised me, and maybe only me, about players being paid to not take out a player on a play on a football field, but to injure them and to hurt them badly. What happened with the New Orleans Saints and the bounty story that's on the front page of this week's Sports Illustrated?
Listen, bounties or bonuses or a couple of bucks here for big plays have always been part of the league, whether it's in a salary cap era and a safety conscious era like now or years ago when they wore leather helmets. The fact, however, that you had a coach and Greg Williams, an assistant coach, standing up there waving envelopes of money and contributing his own money and allegedly running the whole scheme takes it to a new level, and the commissioner will bring the hammer down.
The only thing I noticed about that NFL scandal is how little surprised every single NFL player is. No one is surprised by this.
No one's remotely surprised.
Right.
Yeah. But bad form, nonetheless.
Behind the curtain, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I know you'll be talking about this and all the other stories. A very exciting offseason. NFL Total Access airs at 4 on the NFL Network. Andrew, I hope we're going to see you at April Foolishness, man, if we don't talk to you before then.
I hope so.
We've got you scheduled to do 20 minutes of stand-up.
I'm working on it now.
Okay.
Thanks, dude. We'll talk to you later.
The California Kid, Uriah Faber.
Uriah, assistant wrestling coach at UC Davis, star wrestler in his own right, and he's absolutely ferocious.
Ferocious. They have it. That's it.
It's a tap out. Uriah Faber, the California Kid. You're a winner.
I've never gotten any fights growing up because I wasn't like a bully, but it wasn't because I didn't like to fight. So I remember as a little kid thinking that no one could beat me up, and that kind of attitude has not only allowed me not to get in fights, but part of what's made me a champion is just the mentality of believing in myself.
I've come a long way to establish myself in this sport, and it's not over.
The California Kid stands him up and sits him down.
I'm not thinking a lot in the cage. I'm going off instinct.
I'm motivated out of respect, out of pride, out of, you know, determination.
After 7 years on Spike TV, The Ultimate Fighter is moving to the FX channel with an all-new season starting this Friday. And we've got one of the coaches this year, Uriah Faber, the California Kid, joins us once again on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Uriah, how are you, man?
Doing good. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Very, very exciting. You must just be spending every waking moment thinking about which one of these guys you're going to be able to pick for your team on Friday night.
Well, not exactly, but... I am excited for the show, man. I can't wait to watch these fights. It's going to be 16 fights in a row, and that's like as good as it gets.
This is the first time that you've ever done it live, right? The Ultimate Fighter. So Friday night, you have 32 people. You're going to have 16 fights. 16 people will go home, and then you and Dominic will pick teams, right?
Yeah, that's how it's going to go. And, yeah, this is the first time it's been live. Normally they pre-record like month or so before, edit it and put it out there. This is going to be, as raw as it gets.
Now,
pretty cool.
When is I know that the show is going to be basically the last couple of days, The Ultimate Fighter, and then on Friday nights are going to be a live fight. Are both of those shows on Friday night on FX, or are they on different nights?
Yeah, they're both at the same time.
Same time, okay.
From what I understand.
So it'll be the last couple of days and then followed by a live fight.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be like a two-day delay on the editing of the reality side, and then it'll be live fights from there.
And then at the end, UFC 148, how are you going to fight such a good friend in Dominic Cruz?
It'll be rough. I'll see what I can do, though.
They have to put their friendship aside. It's all business at this point. How much will you two interact throughout the course of the Ultimate Fighter live show, though? Because you're kind of doing your own thing. You only really meet, when your fighters are fighting each other, right? You don't have to spend much time together.
You know what? I don't even know. I mean, we're all going to find this out together, and that's kind of the exciting thing about this. It's Tough Live 1. The first time they're doing it like this, so I don't really even know what to expect other than the fact that I'm going to have to see this guy probably every day.
Yeah, which is great for you. Hey, have you talked to other coaches, other previous coaches about what to expect or what the guys, you know, come into their mentally, what they're like or any of that kind of stuff, tips? I could have asked
really.
That in a shorter amount of words.
I guess I probably have, not other coaches from previous shows, not necessarily, but I have heard of a bunch of people in the industry that have called me and given me little hints here and there about guys and want me to check out their guys and stuff like that. But, I'm just going to fly from the hip and let things happen.
Are you sure you're on the show, Uriah?
Dude, that's kind of how I roll through life, unfortunately.
Well,
let it happen, you know.
By the way, in the other years when we've talked to different people who have been coaches, the season has already been taped, which is why they have
so much a huge difference.
So much information, you haven't even started yet.
Yeah, this will be about an hour. I'll be over there getting the lowdown from Dana and things are going to get started. So I'm just waiting to see.
We are talking to Uriah Faber here on the Kevin and Bean Show Friday night on the FX Network. Ultimate Fighter Live is going to kick off. It's the first season of episode of season 15. Hey, how are you going to squeeze in time for your own training as busy as you're going to be worrying about all these other guys? Because obviously that has to be also top of mind right now.
You know, I think I'm going to be able to get a lot of good workouts in, and I'm still quite a ways out from our fight. We don't fight till July 7th, so we've got a lot of time before I have to really buckle down. And other than that, I'm in like the mecca of training here. So
sure.
There's all sorts of gyms, all sorts of fighters, and competition all around Las Vegas, and I think I'd be able to work out with the guys during the show as well, and I'll have my team with me, so it shouldn't be too difficult.
How long before a fight is it really crunch time where you go, okay, now I need to start getting ready in earnest?
I would say really about 8 weeks. I mean, I train all year round, but to really start being careful with your body and doing real specific things, I would say about 8 months. I mean, 8 weeks. And aside from that, I'm just kind of, you know, learning new stuff and staying in great shape and getting, you know, logging my hours of training.
Yeah, just like me. Kevin, can you imagine, Kevin, if Las Vegas is the place that you were going to be to really buckle down and get some work done? Can you imagine what that would be like for you?
No, but Uriah Faber you've made a living out of training, basically. And if I were in Vegas, I would die. It wouldn't go well. Well,
yeah, I'm not a huge fan of living here in Vegas. Not that I'm going to be really tempted with things. It's just, first off, I'm not as familiar as I am at home, obviously, but having to, like, drive everywhere to get things done and set up new regimens, and I feel like it's kind of an unhealthy place. Like, if you go any casino, there's cigarette smoke, and it's really dry climate and stuff like that, but I'm going to make the best of it, man. I'm gonna have a good time and do work.
All right, good times, Uriah. I'm glad we got a chance to say hello to you. Friday night, FX on at 9 o'clock. It's Ultimate Fighter, and I guess the finale is going to be a three-hour finale on June the 1st, and may the best man win. Uriah, thanks so much for coming on with us. Good luck to you.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, man.
Talk to you later.
Bye. It's 99 Cents Only Stores has festive hats, ties, sunglasses, and leaf clover decor for only 99.99 cents each. Save more. Shop 99 Cents Only Stores first for everything. I'm Lisa Bay with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's a world-famous K-Rock at 8:56.
Celebrity Apprentices Adam Carolla joins us coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
If I pay for something, it's 99.99 cents.
Yeah, that's BS right there.
Do I get a tenth of a cent as change? I'm confused. I'm not quite sure how it works.
A
hundredth of a cent.
You can get a hundredth of a cent. When you do it 100 times, it all comes out
even. They give you a penny?
I see. Gotcha now. Got to buy in bulk.
That's as BS as gas prices. Say what it is.
That's right. Just round it up. Let's get real, people. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Yesterday was Connie Britton's birthday. I think we were talking about her. She from Friday Night Lights. And American Horror Story, of course. Good news today for Connie. Her career will continue on. She's just been cast in a new ABC pilot, a drama called Nashville, where she will play a 40-year-old country star who's forced by her record company to take a younger star on tour with her as her opening act. And that will be played by Hayden Panettiere.
Ooh. Oh,
that sounds fun.
So apparently a little tension between those two. The fading older star having to deal with the younger, up-and-coming, hotter star on the same stage, the same bill. Plus throwing country music. I'm watching.
You're in.
Yeah.
I didn't see Country Strong, but wasn't that the exact plot line for that movie?
You're asking the wrong crowd.
I didn't see it.
Oh, wait a minute. That country music film starring Gwyneth Paltrow? Sure, I've seen it hundreds of times.
You're the movie beat guy. I thought you might have remembered. I didn't.
No,
I love that Connie Britton, though. No. I give her the benefit of the doubt.
I thought she was in that film banging a younger guy who was a songwriter or something for her. I thought
Can
that
we
was
stop talking about that film?
Country Strong.
None of us
Kevin
know anything about
strong.
It. None of us saw it.
But I've never seen Friday Night Lights. So for a person who's never seen Friday Night Lights,
quick recap.
Maybe give me a little brief synopsis.
Yeah, real quick, just past 5 years.
5 words or less.
Work that out. Woody Allen is going to be starring in a film that he is not directing. That's weird.
Oh, this is always bad news.
Can't remember the last time Woody Allen acted in a film that he didn't write and direct.
Maybe Scenes from a Mall comes to mind.
Yeah, I guess so.
With Bette Midler. With
Paul Mazursky film. This film, I don't know, it's got a promising concept. Daily Variety says it's a film called Fading Gigolo, in which Woody Allen and John Turturro will play two guys who are hard up for cash and decide to become gigolos in a Hasidic Jewish community. The woman who employed them for their services, Sharon Stone and Sofia Vergara.
Whoa.
What?
Yeah. Hey, that doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't, but it sounds funny.
It does.
Sounds like a Saturday Night Live sketch or something.
Or it could be terrible.
Sitting Jews being gigolos to hot chicks. Just, it sounds weird, but funny to me.
Yeah, it does.
So
What kind of element that maybe the audience won't expect will happen in the movie? Can you give that away?
No, I'm sorry. I simply can't. And we're coming to the end of the Nicolette Sheridan lawsuit against the creator of Desperate Housewives, Mark Cherry, and ABC. She claims Cherry beat her up and then killed her off on the show. She is suing for, hostile work environment, I'm guessing. Says that she wants $6 million in damages because she can't find work since being fired from her role as Edie on Desperate Housewives.
I don't buy that.
I don't buy it either.
I do.
Why?
I buy that she can't find work.
I buy that she can't buy work.
But not because she was fired.
No, not because of that
show. No, not because she was fired.
Because who wants to hire somebody that's going to sue the people who employ them to make TV?
Well, I suppose that's true. But she was looking for work between now and then. It's been 6 years since she was fired off that show, or 5 years or whatever it was. But it's all wrapped up, and now it's just up to the court to decide if she makes her money or not. But we'll have to wait and see. And good news for Justified fans, if you watch that show over on the FX cable network, the Timothy Olyphant starring show has been renewed for a fourth season of at least 13 episodes. So we'll get to see more as Tim Olyphant as a U.S. Marshal who kicks ass and takes names, shoots first, asks questions later, plays by his own rules, and is an outlaw.
Will Glenda be there?
And Glenda will not be there, no. Today's celebrity birthdays, Laura Prepon. From That 70s Show is 32 years old. Excuse me, do you have any Laura Prepon?
Come on. We just did it.
Yes, I do.
File.
We just did the file.
File.
You going to repopulate it immediately? Wow.
32 years old today. Jenna Fisher from The Office is 38. Peter, see, there was a popular commercial for
yes,
mustard
we know.
Back in the day.
We got it.
Peter Sarsgaard is 41 years old, as is Rachel Weisz. Wanda Sykes, 48 years old. Bryan Cranston, who's so unbelievably good in Breaking Bad, he is 56 years old. And TV personality Willard Scott, who's often on the Today Show, wishing happy birthdays to people over 100 years old who have no idea who he is or what he's talking about. He is 78 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Our friend Adam Carolla joins us on the phone right now. Adam, it must have been very sad to say goodbye to Star Trek's Mr. Sulu when he was fired from Celebrity Apprentice last week. What's that feel like when you lose one of the guys on your team?
that the black chick? I didn't watch the show.
No, this is the older Asian guy, George Takei.
Dude, who? I didn't watch the show.
You didn't watch it? Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, you know, it's always tough to say goodbye to someone you're never going to see again.
Well, when you put it in perspective like that, I guess.
Honestly, George, good guy, but if I had to hear another story about the Japanese-American internment camps, really, never felt worse as a white guy. Like, sorry for what Grandpa did. You understand? We're under a lot of stress. Your Grandpa bombed Pearl Harbor, so we're even, right?
That is a defining moment of his life, and I guess that was the charity he was playing for. But you're right. He does seem to bring it up a lot for something that happened to him when he was four.
Listen, you could work, if you were at a Christmas party and you went, is this seven-layer dip? He'd work it right into that conversation. You know what we didn't have in the internment camp? We had three-layer dip. That was the max.
Celebrity Apprentice airs Sunday nights at 9 on NBC. You can see Adam on stage at the Irvine Improv. That's going to be tomorrow night. Tickets available for just $25 at IrvineImprov.com. And I hear your special guest tomorrow night, Adam, is our friend Doug Benson. That sounds like it's going to be hilarious.
Yes, he should be put in an internment camp himself. Yes, he will be there.
Yeah. IrvineImprov.com. Get all the details at AdamCarolla.com. The Ace Man is here because it's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting at three and working up to number one. Number three, the 100-year anniversary of the Oreo cookies. And I just saw this yesterday. This, first off, cookies shouldn't have anniversaries. We're officially out of news, right? Number two, this is a horrible cookie that no one really talks about.
Oh, you're so wrong.
How horrible.
Dare you? The Oreo is the best cookie that's ever been
made,
Adam.
Let's not be crazy, but it's good.
It's the best cookie that's ever been made.
That's ridiculous.
I will give it its due. It spawned a negative racial slur. That's all. That's its only contribution to society thus far. As a cookie, it's horrible.
What's your problem with Oreos?
The outside tastes bad. The inside tastes bad. Other than that, it's perfect.
You are a communist, sir.
I've never disagreed with anything anyone's ever said more than I disagree with that statement.
There's commercials telling you how to eat it. That's just wrong. No one ever tells you how to eat good stuff like prime rib. Oh, first you tear it apart, then you bury your face in the center, then you use your tongue and lick the au jus off it. No, it's a bad cookie. It's always been a bad cookie. There's five Girl Scout cookies that are head of the Oreo cookie. The Nilla wafer laughed at the Oreo cookie.
Oh, you are dead to
it's
me.
A bad cookie.
All right, we're going to have to disagree on this one.
And it's worse even when it's crushed up and dumped over the Froyo.
Oh, that's so good.
All right, so let's just agree I'm right.
Okay.
Also, boy, you want to talk about bittersweet. Somebody called me yesterday and said, hey, you're an answer on Jeopardy. And somebody sent me the
link. Exciting.
$2,000 question. It says, The Hammer is a knockout film with this ex-love line and man show host, which felt fantastic until I saw the three nerds stand there motionless for 10 seconds, and then Alex Trebek having to jump in and explain who I was. You think it's a cool thing to be on Jeopardy until everyone just stands there slack-jawed going,
And these are people that know everything on Jeopardy.
That's my point. So if they know everything and they don't know you, then you are nothing.
That's correct.
So sad. I bet they know that the Oreo is a horrible cookie,
though. They don't know that.
They do know that.
That's because
one
it's not
answer
true.
They would get. Anyway, bittersweet on Jeopardy.
Okay.
And number one, this idea I am in love with. And you know I'm in love with many of my ideas.
You're in love with all of your ideas, but go ahead.
Well, but I got to tell you, whatever Jeopardy Bridge was torn down over the last few moments.
Right.
And I should say Oreo Bridge, which was torn down. We're going to rebuild
right
now with this idea.
The two of us and you.
I had the greatest. I was in bed the other day, late night, just laying there in bed. It was like 9:15 in the morning. And my dog Molly came over and she started pawing at my arm. You know, get up. And I said, you got to go to the bathroom, Molly. And she just kept pawing at my arm. And I got up and I thought, all right, you're hungry, you want to go to the bathroom, what do you want? And she just laid down in the hall and went to bed. And I realized She didn't want to do anything. She didn't have to pee. She didn't have to poo. She wasn't hungry. She was just saying, hey, lard ass, yeah. The sun's been up for 4 hours. Let's get going.
Shouldn't you be moving?
Shouldn't you be moving? And then I thought, wait a minute. You know, they have all these helper dogs for, you know, blind people and handicapped people. You know, they're turning the lights on or they're stopping at the crosswalk.
Right.
How about the helper dog just for the lazy worker?
For the stoner.
Just to leave him around the house. Like, you're gone all day. You're made. Right now, she's blowing a doobie, talking on her cell phone. My on-the-clocker spaniel would come by and be like, hey, bitch, what's up? You know what I mean? Like, nudge her a little. She's taking an hour and 15 minutes to eat. She's only supposed to have half hour for lunch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's going through the old lady's panty drawer. Just the dog around on patrol.
So the dog's cracking the whip.
At work. At home, you know, you're gone and there's people working around your house all day. Wouldn't you like for the family? What about you could train them for different things? Like, you know, you're on a diet. You got the fat chick there. She's going for a second scoop of ice cream. There's the dog. Hey, man. Really?
Knocking the portion off the table?
Slapping it out of her hand.
Sure.
Wouldn't you feel better knowing you had one of my on-the-clocker spaniels at your house just patrolling all day?
Where can I buy one?
That's my point.
Would they let me eat Oreos is my question.
Slap it. Take that off. First day of training.
I hope that you registered on the clocker spaniel with the patent department before you came on and gave that $1 million idea away, Adam. The Adam Carolla Show, of course, can be downloaded on iTunes or adamcarolla.com, and you can also get information to buy tickets to see The Ace Man with our friend Doug Benson on stage tomorrow night at the Irvine Improv. That sounds like a hilarious show. IrvineImprov.com and Celebrity Apprentice this Sunday night at 9 on NBC. Thanks, Ace Man.
Thanks, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin DeBean Show. I wish I had time to push that button, but I don't.
So let's
do some showbiz.
Hit it.
Let's get right to
it. No.
Right to the showbiz because we don't need another moment
with. I need a moment with.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Have you talked to other coaches, or other previous coaches, about what to expect or what the guys, you know, come into their mentally, what they're like, or any of that kind of stuff? Tips?
That was a moment with Kevin.
I knew that was going to happen.
All right, stop with the Fran Drescher sound effect.
Oh, my God. They sent this out being to promote the watching of that show.
All that does is make sure that nobody ever wants to accidentally hear that laugh on TV again. I'm going to take that channel off my DirecTV.
That's correct.
All right, Ralph. Please stop. Please stop.
Happily divorced, TV Land. It's not just for reruns anymore. It's not just for reruns anymore. They've got Hot in Cleveland. They've got Happily Divorced.
Yeah. I told you. I saw the billboard. The laugh is back. That's what they're going with.
The laugh is back. Because, Kevin, that laugh is iconic. That people hear that laugh and they say, that makes me think comedy.
Take that away from him.
No
seriously.
Kidding.
Ralph, how about that moment with?
Whew. That was...
Let's move on.
Classic,
where
we, right?
Where this has been Kevin. A banner year. This is... You know, sometimes farmers talk about a bumper crop where, you know, the fields will lay fallow for a couple years. And then suddenly, just out of nowhere, where it's a combination of the perfect weather or some difference in the soil, but their crops will just grow to such a bountiful amount that it's really a boon to the farming community.
And
that's what this year has been so far for us for the moment with Kevin's.
Are you saying I can take 6 months off and still have the top 10?
I think so. I mean, we are well into top 10 material here. It's just March. Wow.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Have you talked to other coaches, or other previous coaches, about what to expect or what the guys, you know, come into their mentally, what they're like, or any of that kind of stuff? Tips?
That was a moment
clarify tips.
With Kevin.
Tips is the cherry on top of the delicious hot fudge sundae. You think, I can't wait to eat this, so delicious. Tips. And then you get that, and that's just the perfect thing. It just completes it and makes it the best dessert you've ever had.
You know what makes it worse is that everyone in here I can see start to giggle, and I know that you're all planning the moment with.
Oh, yeah.
And I also get the sense that everybody listening knows what I'm trying to say.
Right.
And that I'm not going to get there.
Yeah.
So they start
so
like
it's our
really
fault somehow.
No,
so,
no. It throws me off because now I know every person listening could ask this question better, and yet I'm in the middle of it, and I'm not going to get done.
So funny.
Tips.
All right. Final tips. I know showbiz.
Other coaches?
Of the day.
Previous coaches? As if you meant the coaches that were currently working on the show?
Yeah, I didn't mean that at all.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't say that well.
Before I get to showbiz news, I've got some tickets to give away. How would you like to see Guns N' Roses in concert?
Yay! Welcome to the Wilton on March 11th. Or you can choose the Palladium on March 9th.
Those are your two choices. Palladium on the 9th, Wilton on the 11th. If you are caller 20 right now at 1-800-520-1067, caller number 20 will win a pair of tickets to Guns N' Roses. Your choice, Palladium or the Wiltern, March 9th or March 11th. Tickets are on sale now. If you don't win, you can still buy them, but you can win them right now if you call 1-800-520-1067.
Will Glenda be there?
Glenda will be attending. She told me she's going to get there.
Wow.
She's got tickets in the pit.
Realize that.
Enjoy Glenda there, Larry. Congratulations to actress Linda Cardellini. She gave birth to her first child this week. The baby is a baby girl she had with her boyfriend, Steve Rodriguez. It's a leap day baby. Leap day baby.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Leap day.
You guys see Modern Family?
Oh, how funny was that?
That was a very funny episode about leap day.
Freaks and Geeks, ER, Scooby-Doo movies. Linda's been in all those, so she is a very talented and a beautiful actress. But I had a big crush on her in Freaks and Geeks. She was the thing for me.
It was all the thing for you, Ralph. That show.
Yeah, I did love that show. Also in baby news, Elizabeth Berkley is going to have a child. She, of course, Saved by the Bell and Showgirls. She's due to give birth this summer. She married her husband, Greg Lauren, in 2003. However, people are still saying maybe AC Slater's.
Is that right?
Yeah, we got to run some DNA and see if
perhaps. Who's saying that? I haven't seen any
reports. Screech is saying that. Yeah, okay. He's spreading those ugly rumors.
Yeah.
Snooki is thinking about baby names.
She's not really pregnant, though. I refuse to believe that part.
Apparently, it's confirmed,
Kevin.
Apparently, it's a real deal now.
But seriously.
She's engaged and pregnant. People magazine says her favorite girl names are Gia, Isabella, and Gianna. Boy names, Tony and Frankie. Why not Luigi and Mario, too? Why not throw those into the mix? How about Mussolini? How about that for a boy? We get it. You're Italian. How about Pisa or Vatican? How about Air Italia? How about pizza? How about ravioli if it's a girl? Shut up! Wow, I get it. You're Italian. It's been announced that Davy Jones' funeral will be held this week in Florida. And looks like Mickey, Peter, and Mike, the other monkeys, will not be attending.
Obviously.
It's sort of a deal they made with the family. Family wants it not to be a media circus and have a lot of photographers and stuff, so they're agreeing to stay away from the private event. But there will be public memorial services in New York and England sometime next week, and all three remaining monkeys said they will probably attend one of those to say their goodbyes to their fallen bandmate.
And so random to have a young guy like that have a heart attack a month after he had a physical where they told him he had the heart of a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
Crazy, because he seemed like he was in great shape.
He was
very
energetic,
very active, the whole deal.
A vegetarian, ran all the time.
Yeah.
Was a jockey, you know, so people don't understand the upper body strength sometimes it takes to ride a horse and leg strength, too. But, yeah, it was just, it's inexplicable. Inexplicable. And need I remind you, also Tila Tequila is still alive. So just keep that in mind.
That's the world is not fair.
That's how you know there's no God. Jonah Hill said he bleached his hair in high school because he wanted to be Eminem. So did Kevin!
But Jonah Hill grew out of it.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They were talking about his high school years because he's got 21 Jump Street coming up, where he and Channing Tatum, of course, return
that
to
looks
high
funny.
School. It does look funny. He said that he, if he would had to go back to high school and change anything, he would get into the theater scene sooner. He would have become an actor sooner. But he was afraid his friends would make fun of him if he did theater, and that's why he chose not to audition for any of the plays or anything when he was in high school. What would you change about high school if you could change anything, if you could go back in time and change anything?
I don't think much of anything.
Really?
Had a great time.
Yeah. How about
pay attention in English class. Would that be something you would alter slightly?
I graduated college with an English degree.
I know. We still have yet to ever call that school, and that still should be on the list of things to do.
We could play some stuff for him.
We got to check in with that school and say,
good idea.
Who is giving out your diplomas over there?
There's no way they're still in business, right? They can't be accredited, certainly,
was this
right?
From the back of a comic book or something? Was this a correspondence school, or did you go to an actual campus?
I did have graduation in a Ralph's parking lot, so that's something to do with
back
it.
Of a van. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, do we have a winner? For the tickets?
I guess it doesn't really matter. I think
we had the question. Yeah, okay. Today's celebrity birthday is Laura Prepon from That 70 Show is 32 years old today. Jenna Fisher from The Office turns 38. Peter Sarsgaard, excellent, excellent actor, 41 years old. Rachel Weisz, she's hot.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig's a lucky, lucky man.
Yep.
Daniel Craig's ex-girlfriend, not so lucky. Remember how she found out that they were together?
No.
They got he left her
to do a movie
to go work on this movie with Rachel Weisz,
Then
just never came back.
I think he married Rachel before she knew
he married her.
He did.
He married her before she knew that he was.
Hey, you know that thing
forever.
About us being a couple? Already married.
All right, I'm gonna do a movie. I'll be back in like 3 months or never. Can't really.
We lived together.
Yes, they were living together.
We did that as a phone-in topic where we had lots of people who called in who said the same thing happened to them: is they're dating somebody and then they get a call that says, "Hey, I just married someone else."
Wanda Sykes is 48 years old. Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad and Malcolm in the Middle is 56. He's going to be in the new Total Recall reboot, too. I've seen some footage of that. It looks really good. Colin Farrell will be starring.
Cool.
And Willard Scott, TV personality from the Today Show. You know him for saying happy birthday to very, very old people. He is 78 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Andrew W.K. in the studio. That guy likes to party, is what
he
I hear.
He sure does like to party.
He has written some songs about it.
Out of the word party.
Speaking of people who like to party, Dr. Drew will be on the program tomorrow.
He's a madman.
We have Robert Mazur, who has written a book about being a banker for drug dealer Pablo Escobar.
Wow.
Dude pretty much ran the world for a while.
The jackal.
Taylor Kitsch will be on the program.
Jackal.
We'll be on the program tomorrow. He is John Carter in that movie. And you were mistaken for a hooker also on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show.
Lisa! Finally!
I finally thought I should just talk about it.
It was a conversation you can join in. Yeah. I can't wait.
And we've got your tickets for April Foolishness all tomorrow morning. And none of that. Tomorrow morning on a new Kevin and Bean Show.